delighted that you are here. We, in our winter and spring series, are locating some of the great mountain stories from the Bible, stories where God shows up and incredible experiences and events happen. So let me invite you, if you wish today, to turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. And we will begin reading at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, which, by the way, is the same as Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight while the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, from the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then God said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders and Israel, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, we travel a bit with Moses today, and we come to the place in the wilderness desert on Mount Sinai where he encounters the living God, where his life is changed. And Father, as we come, let us in our hearts and our minds just stand with him a few moments, because this is not just a bush that appears before Moses. This is the bush of the living God that appears even in our own lives. So we come. And we ask that we open our hearts to the revelation of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses had spent a great number of years thinking that his mission had long been over. In his earliest 40 years. He spent them in Egypt. He spent them in fine luxury. He spent them being a prominent part of the story of what was happening in Egypt. And then he tried to defend his own people who are being held as slaves and who are being oppressed in Egypt. And in so doing, he ended up a homeless Moses. He had nowhere to go. Those who were in Egypt and the place where he had lived were seeking his life. The very people which were his own didn't want anything to do with him after he killed a Hebrew taskmaster. And at the age of 40, Moses wandered into the wilderness, knowing next to nobody and nothing to do, thinking, if ever there is a blown mission, if ever I just wanted something, just do something that was right, something that would honor God, the day is over. And I would imagine for the next 40 years of his life, Moses went to bed each night, woke up every morning thinking the same thing. If I could just be 40 again, if I could just have those days again, if I could just have that opportunity over again, I would get it right. I would do it differently. And my life would have been so different. But out here, I'm a nobody. Out here, I mean nothing. Out here, I can hardly find my way. Out here, it's just bread and water. Out here, it's just watching over the sheep. Out here, it's just dry and brittle and dusty. There's no presence of anybody except for a father-in-law, wife, family. Grateful that I have that. And apart from that, that's just my world. And Moses endured for 40 years that kind of life, that kind of thinking, that kind of lost hope, that kind of discouragement. One day he was tending the sheep, and as they were walking, he saw something, but the truth of the matter is, what he saw was not anything that was really highly unusual. Most of us think that if you saw a burning bush, that would be the miracle of it. That was not the miracle of it. That happened quite often in the place where Moses was, just the sheer heat, just the sheer dryness. It was not uncommon at all for a bush just to flame out. What caught Moses' attention about this was that this time the bush was on fire and was not consumed. That was the oddity. That was the strange thing. That was the one thing. They said, this cannot be. I've seen bushes burn before. I've seen what happens out in the desert. And I know when these things happen that the bush in no time flat is consumed. But this bush is on fire and it is not consumed. And that caught his attention. How is it that something that happens 100 out of 100 times on this time is so different? Why doesn't the bush consume itself? Why doesn't it just fall into ashes like every other time? And Moses thought, I've got to see this. I've got to take a look at this. I've never seen a bush catch on fire and not be consumed. So Moses took a peek. Moses walked over. And not only did the bush burn without being consumed, the bush began to have a very divine conversation with him. I suppose that was pretty different as well. This past year, my daughter, my granddaughter, now this would not have been a surprise to my daughter, who is about 30, standing in front of Spruce, the Christmas tree, as he talks, but my granddaughter, who is 2, my grandson, I'd say, this is my son-in-law. I know y'all think I don't have a family. I haven't a clue as to who's in my family. My son-in-law captured my granddaughter standing in front of Bruce the Christmas tree saying her name, and she had no idea what was happening. And the surprise when she turned around to see that a Christmas tree could talk was priceless. That was Christmas for our family this year. It was just unbelievable. That Christmas tree is talking and knows my name. I can imagine Moses must have thought to himself, that bush knows my name. Moses, come over here. What bush could possibly know my name? And then that bush says something like, Moses, by the way, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. And Moses takes his sandals off. And what happens then? Only heaven could have done. The divine voice says, Moses, I have seen my people. They have been oppressed too long. I've heard their cry. I see their suffering. And I'm sending you down to get them out. And I'm sure the first thing that probably crossed Moses' mind was, I have already tried this plan myself. I already know for a fact this stuff does not work. So when you get through talking bush, I'm going to give you my side of the story. I've already been down there. I actually spent 40 years down there before you were probably a bush. Can't you hear Moses saying this? And I already know the culture down there. I know how Egyptians think. I've already bumped into the Israelites. As a matter of fact, I'm one of them. Those are my roots. Those are my people. I've already tried to bring them out. I have already tried to hear their cry, to get on their side, and to lead something that would bring deliverance to them. So Bush, you're just a little behind the times here. You're just a little out of your element because I've been there, I've done that, and I'm telling you, it won't work. Everybody down there, I don't care whether they are Egyptian or Israelite, every single one of them down there want my head. Every single one of them want me dead. So let's just back it up and get the story straight. I can hear this whole thing playing out in Moses' mind. But the voice from the bush says, Moses, I am sending you. I'm not sending anybody. I have chosen you. As a matter of fact, I am the father of Abraham. And Moses must have stepped. I say that again. I am the father of Abraham. I am the father of Isaac. I am the father of Jacob. Now, does that set things in perspective for you? And I imagine Moses is now starting to capture all this. Say, oh, okay, hold it. You're saying you are the I am? And say, oh yeah, yeah, I am the I am. And Moses says, okay, let's straighten this out. Now, when we started the conversation, you call me by name. You said, Moses, Moses. I almost hear the voice saying, yes, I did. I know exactly who you are. And then Moses said, well, it would only be fair if you're going to send me down there and I appear before Pharaoh, it's only fair that when they ask me your name, I have a name. I got to say something. And the voice said, you get to say that I am the father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And if you want a personal name, I've got one for you. It is I am that I am, which in even in English, in Hebrew is a verb. In other words, when Moses asked God for a personal name, God gave him a verb. And I know Moses must have thought, come on, give me something like Bob or Dick or Harry. I don't care if you're a God named Sue. Give me a name. I need something. Give me something I can really work here. I can't go down to Pharaoh and throw jump, run, or smile at him. I need a name, not a verb. And God said, I am that I am. And Moses undoubtedly thought to himself, so I'm going to stand before Pharaoh and I'm going to say that there was a bush burning that was not consumed out in the desert. The bush spoke to me. The bush said, I'm to come down and get the Israelites and I'm to bring them out. And when Pharaoh asked me what the name is, because the Egyptians had plenty of gods and they had plenty of names for those gods. And when Pharaoh looks me dead square in the eye, and he says, I want a name of that God. Am I just going to say, well, the God of the burning bush sent me? And Pharaoh would think to himself, my star is Moses. You are done. What happened to you? But Moses is not going to say to Pharaoh, the God of the burning bush has sent me. He's going to say, I am has sent me. He is the same I am who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the same I am who was and is to come. He is the I am who created the very dirt that is under your feet, the very river that you depend upon for your livelihood, the very sun that is in the sky, the very air that you breathe, everything that you need. He is the I am. I come in his name. I come as his ambassador. I represent him. So off Moses goes to tell his story of the great I am. And as time goes on, and as Moses and Pharaoh contend with each other, you know how the great I am prevailed over every Egyptian god, over every god. The God I am, the Yahweh God, sent a plague defeating the Egyptian God. But let's just go back for a moment. There's something about a bush that's burning in me. What actually happened in that moment? Back up the train just for a second, because it's going to happen in our moment, happens in our life along the way. When a bush is burning and it's not consumed, and there is a divine presence, it is actually the same kinds of ways that God shows up in ordinary life. God shows up consuming people's lives, and here is the beauty of the gospel. God is the only thing that can bring a fire in your life and not burn you up. He's the only person that can unleash a flame of something in your life, and you're not reduced to ashes. God comes to us with a fire and a name and a mission, and it's not to bring us down to nothing. It is so that as people, imagine, we're not just bushes, that there is a divine holy fire and that can burn without being consumed. God has chosen a people through whom he puts his fire, and they burn and are not consumed. And that's what makes the world take a second look. I've seen people burn by things before. When people get into materialism, it burns them. As a matter of fact, if they get into it deep enough, long enough, they're reduced to ashes. Haven't you seen that story? When people get into it's all about me, you let them do it long enough, the fire will take them down to nothing and you'll hold their ashes in your hands. But what is happening when the people of God are burned by a fire of God and they're not consumed? Something's different about this. And Moses couldn't help it. The world can't help it. We can't help it. But God shows up and his fiery presence burns now within people. Think about Pentecost. His fiery presence burns within people. They are not consumed. In fact, they are made into the very image of Christ. And that's when the world stops and says, I haven't seen that one before. I've seen a lot of stuff go down. I've seen a lot of things get burned. I've seen wonderful, healthy things reduced to ashes. I've never seen anybody consumed with a fire like that, and the transformation that happens in their life, and the beauty that takes place, and the way that they grow, and the way that they love even their enemies, the way that they live. It is absolutely unbelievable. Where are the people consumed by the fire of God who are not consumed? And when that happens, we are changed. For the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob is our God. He has not changed. And when we burn with God, we are not consumed. As a matter of fact, we are made whole. We are cleansed. We are renewed. We are refined. And out in a desert where Moses had zero chance of ever encountering a living God, guess what happened? God turned that bush into a tabernacle, into a temple, into a sanctuary. What do you think God is in the business of doing? He's turning you, he's turning us into a tabernacle of his presence, into a temple of his holiness, into a sanctuary where he dwells. When the Israelites were in Egypt and when Moses was in the desert, as strange as this may sound, God himself did not have a home on the earth. Can you imagine a homeless God? And God said, well, I tell you what, I will make a home on the earth. And he didn't go to the Egyptians. He didn't go down to the Israelites who were being held captive. He went out into a desert. He found a bush. And God said, ha, there's a home for me right there. There's my sanctuary. There's my temple. There's my tabernacle. And I'm going to get my first worshiper right here. Here he comes, Moses. Moses, come here. Come here. I now have a place on the earth. And you're going down, and you're going to bring out a people, and I am going to live among the people. And then Christ comes, and God lives in him, and then the Spirit comes, and God tabernacles and temples and sanctuaries among his people, and here you are. The burning bush of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look at where we are, right where the peninsula needs us to be. Somebody, somewhere that burns with God, but not consumed, but changed. Welcome to the burning bush. It's your story. It's who you are. It's who we are. And may God be praised for speaking our name, putting us on mission, and taking us to places we would have never imagined, dreamed of, thought about. So far off the grid, we couldn't have planned it. That's what God does with burning bushes. Well, we're a burning. And God is taking us to a place we would have never thought of. That is only because he is God and he's invited us into the sanctuary of his people and of his presence. And he's doing something and we are burning and not consumed. Enjoy the God who does that in his grace and in his goodness. I'm going to ask you, please, if you'd stand with me. And I'm going to pray. After I pray, I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe in your heart, that bush is burning. And God's getting your attention. And you feel like, I think God is even calling my name. Well, he is, if you hear that. That's what he's doing. He's calling your name. And you just want to step out or step forward or come in whatever way that you wish to respond and say, God, I heard that. God, I saw that. God, I present myself in your presence for my life to be in ever fire of you, never consumed. And if you're beginning that journey, if you would like to start that journey by inviting Jesus Christ into your heart, I would love for us, or there are others who are here who can help us, who can pray with you as you take that step into God's presence and come to Christ and He lives within you. If God is calling you to a mission and you're wishing to respond to that and you would like to symbolize that by walking here, or kneeling, or praying, however you wish to do that, you're going to accept the mission of God's call. I invite you to come. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for a story that speaks powerfully every time it is read. Every time we come to it, somehow that burning bush catches flame all over again. Somehow it gets into us. Somehow it gets around to us. Somehow it speaks to us. And somehow it's not just the name of Moses. It is the name of each of us that it speaks. And we all experience the great I Am. So, Father, today we come. We present ourselves to you. Burn away the stuff that's not of you. Burn away the stuff we don't need to be like you. And fill us with the fire that makes us like you. The ways in which we are not consumed, but the ways in which you just live, display love through us. So, Father, we come. And may you bless those, watch over those, give strength and courage to those who step into the presence of the bush of the living God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Worth a living just because.
I'm so glad we were able to be together today. Aren't you? What a beautiful time to see you, guests. Thank you for being with us. What a joy to meet you. We're so delighted for your blessing to us in this place. Hope you have a great day. Just let me remind you to mark it on your schedule and calendar so you are fully aware that not this Wednesday night, the Wednesday after that, January 31st, we as a church family will be coming together on that evening to reflect our understanding and discernment of what God is calling us to do in relationship with Freedom Life. So be aware of that. We've had a beautiful season of just an experience of God leading this church family in various ways. So many great stories. So let's just have a prayer of blessing together. And after we pray, let's sing. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for the burning bush that is this church family, for the many ways that you burn and we are not consumed, for the ways that the burning of this church family bears witness to this community, that the God of Abraham is here, the God of Jacob is here, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is here, the Spirit is here. And Father, may you ever extend and expand the burning of your presence among us so that anybody, anywhere, whatever desert they are in, can experience the warmth of your grace and of your forgiveness. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary.
Great day.